Parsha Hashavua with Rabbi Gerari. This week's Parsha is Parsha Shlach. You'll know what Shlach is, famous for the story of the spies. The Jewish people wanted to send spies to the land of Israel to see how to conquer the land. God wasn't particularly pleased. The Jews should have had more trust and faith in Hashem just to go and conquer the land and rely on Hashem that it will happen. However, he allowed the sending of the spies. Unfortunately, it didn't end well. The spies return from Eretz Israel. They negatively report on the land of Israel, its strength, its greatness, the giants, the fortified cities, and so on. It was Erev Tisha B'Av when they returned, and God said, because the Jewish people cried that night, God said, you cried for nothing tonight. I will give you what to cry for in the future. And in fact, on that day, the first and second Beis Hamikdash, the temple, was destroyed. I want to share with you a couple of interesting insights about this parsha and then connect it with something else in the parsha. The word shlach is a gematria of 338. Now we know that because of the story of Meraglim, as we just mentioned, the destruction of the temple was destroyed. In the year 3338, meaning in the third millennia, and 338 years, like the word shlach, that's when the first Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed. So the concept of the destruction coming from the story of the Meraglim is actually hinted in the word shlach. Another very interesting idea is that the phrase used in the Torah when Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu is shlach lecha anashim, send for yourself men. The Sofei Tevis, the Baal HaTurim, tells us the end letter of each of the words shlach lecha anashim is chacham, because we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim, Rashi already tells us, they didn't go wicked, they actually were good. They were tzaddikim, they were chachamim, they were wise men. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was told, send chacham, shlach lecha anashim, send people who are chachamim, who are wise people and great people. Now we find an interesting thing, that when the Meraglim left, Moshe Rabbeinu specially davened for his own disciple, Yehoshua. And the Pasuk tells us that Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, that the name of the person that was being, the Talmud, the disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu that was being sent as one of the Meraglim, who was one of the two tzaddikim that returned without a negative report, was Hoshea bin Nun, Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moshe Rabbeinu changed his name and he put a Yud in front and it became Yehoshua. In Yehoshua, of course, means there's a Yud and a Hey, which is Hashem's name. Rashi tells us that he spalil olov, he davened for him. Hashem should protect you and save you from the scheme of the Meraglim. Now, there's a Targum, there's a commentary on Chumash called the Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason is not the Targum we have printed in most Chumashim on the side of the Chumash, which is more literal. Targum Yonason is an Aramaic translation from one of the great Tanoim of Yonason in Uziel, but it's more Midrashic. And in other words, it extends a little bit more the literal meaning of the pasuk into sort of more midrashic ideas. And the Targum Yonason makes the following comment. He says, "Kesherah Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw anvesanusoi, the humility of Yehoshua, he called Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua." And the Mefarshim all battle, what's the connection between humility and the Yud that Moshe Rabbeinu added to the name of Yehoshua? So, there's another Targum Yonason and a different Pasuk. I'm sorry, there's another commentary and a different Pasuk which is connected to this Targum Yonason. And that is that the Pasuk in Parshas Bahaloska, which is last week's Parsha, tells us about the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says, "V'ha'ish Moshe, onov me'oid mikol ha'adam." Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all men upon the face of the earth. Now we know, and this is something that the Sar Shalom of Bells points out, that the spelling for the word onov in Hebrew is ayin nun yud vav. However, in the Torah, when it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu being humble, it says onov without a yud. Just ayin nun vav. The Rosh, the great Rosh, explained that Moshe Rabbeinu found it very difficult to write on himself the description of humility. It was sort of going against the grain of his of his unbelievably being humble. And therefore he skipped out the Yud, and obviously Hashem accepted that, to sort of abbreviate the word honor, abbreviate the word humility, and to show the world that it was really hard for him to write the full word of honor out in full. In other words, the word Yud, the letter Yud, got left out, not being in the Torah, and therefore it wasn't written in the Torah, and that's why it remains sort of lacking from the whole Torah. So he says that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this Yud is a Yud connected to humility, and it needs to be given to someone who has a humble spirit just like him. And that's what the Targum Yonasan means, that when he saw Yehoshua, how humble he was, he gave him the Yud, and he turned the name Hosea into Yehoshua. Why did he see a particular trait of humility by Yehoshua? We know again from last week's parasha, there's that story that ended up in the Lashon Hara that Miriam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, but the story starts that Moshe Rabbeinu selected 70 elders by drawing lots from 6 people of every tribe. The 6 people of every tribe, of course, would have made 72, which meant that 2 people got left out. The 2 people were Eldad and Medad, and suddenly the spirit of prophecy came upon them, and they started to prophesy in the camp. Yehoshua runs to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Eldad and Medad are prophesying, Adoni Moshe Kloe, my master Moshe, finish them off, destroy them. Now, why was it so? If they had a spirit of prophecy, why did they need to be punished? So Rashi tells us, because what happened was, when Eldad and Medad started to prophesy, their prophecy was that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, and his student Yehoshua is going to take the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. And this was actually a prophecy giving the leadership to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua was mortified. He did not want that leadership. He didn't want that to happen. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Jewish people into Israel. And that's why when he came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he screamed and he cried and he says, no, look what they're saying. Please punish them. Please take them away. That was an expression of his great humility. And when Moshe Rabbeinu saw in last week's parasha how Yehoshua is so humble, he knew in this week's parasha he needs to give that Yud to Yehoshua. Just an interesting idea. Now, we know that one of the ideas of the Meraglim, we learn an interesting halacha out of the story of the Meraglim, because they came back, they were 12. 10 of them were negative, and as a result, they were punished. Interestingly enough, we learn the halacha of a minyan from the Meraglim. That's like the interesting source, right? A minyan is something we need for everything that is holy, to say Kedusha, to say Chazaras Hashatz, to read the Torah, to answer Kaddish, and so on and so forth. Where do we learn this from? From the Meraglim. Because it says Hashem referred to them as Eidah Haro, an evil congregation. We find in Parshas Emor that Hashem says, I will become sanctified, meaning things of Kedusha shall take place in the concept of an Eidah, Adas, and the concept of a congregation. So we know that the congregation means, the congregation is something you need to sanctify Hashem's name. What's the definition of a congregation? 10 people, because that was the 10 Meraglim. Now, of course, this is really strange, because this idea of sanctifying Hashem and talking about holiness connected to Hashem, the last source we would have thought about is the Meraglim, who did the wrong thing. But if you take it on a deeper level, we can understand it very simply. The Meraglim actually were tzaddikim. They were great people. They just made one fundamental mistake. They actually wanted the Jews not to go into Israel. In fact, they almost got what they wanted. Why? Because the Jews lived a beautifully spiritual existence in the Midbar. They were protected by the clouds of glory. Their clothes were laundered. The snakes and scorpions were taken care of. They were protected. They were fed. And they were given everything they need. So they were free to live a life of pure spirituality, complete learning and davening, and just connecting to God in an extremely intense spiritual way. They were very afraid for the Jews to go into Israel. And they were right to be afraid, because when they came into Israel, they started living a mundane life where they had to earn a living, they had to compete with each other, a very physical life, and that would have been spiritually dangerous, and therefore they tried to halt the process. They were considered bad because they made a very fundamental mistake, because the tachlis, the purpose of the world, is not to live a spiritual existence in isolation. The purpose of the world, because if we just needed spiritual existences, God could have sufficed with the angels. But he created us because he wanted us to take spirituality and bring it in to the physical, to connect it to the physical, to survive spiritually in a challenging environment, to transform and to illuminate a mundane existence. And that's why they were punished, because they were wrong. But the intent was really good. Now, the intent was good to the point where the concept of having isolated spiritual experiences is very important. We cannot bring holiness into the world unless we actually do, from time to time, experience spirituality, intense spirituality, in a very isolated way. That's why we do have times to disconnect. We have Shabbos. We have times to daven. We have time to learn. And then we hopefully take that spirituality into the world with us. That's why it's no surprise that we learn the concept of a minyan from the Meraglim. Yes, the Meraglim were all about holiness, and therefore we learn about holiness from the Meraglim. The mistake was they wanted to live that their entire life with that holiness, and that is wrong. But the holiness they were, and holy they were, and therefore it's appropriate to learn the concept of holiness from the Meraglim. And being that there were 10 people, we know that a minyan is 10 men. Now, this is very much connected to another thing in the parasha, which is the following. In the parasha, we know that we learned in the book of Vayikra all about korbanos, all about sacrifices, all different types of sacrifices, communal, individual, sin offerings, burnt offerings, shlamim, and so on and so forth. This week's parasha, the Torah introduces the mitzvah of nesachim. Nesachim means whenever a korban was brought, there had to be a libation, you had to pour wine or pour something down the tube of the altar. And we know that ever since that mitzvah was given, which was to take place as soon as they come into Eretz Yisrael, you can't have one without the other. You need to, every time you have a korban, you have to have the concept of nesachim. Why does this mitzvah appear in this parasha? Is it just random? No, of course not. And the reason is because it's very much connected to the story of the Meraglim. The Kabbalists teach us that when we bring a korban is consumed by fire. A korban is the idea that it goes up to Hashem. A korban represents the idea of aliyah, elevation, spirituality, disconnection from the world, elevating the animal in the fire that came down from heaven and so on. That's the process of a korban. Extreme holiness, extreme elevation, extreme spiritual intensity. The nesachim, the libations, the pouring of wine on the Mizbech was the opposite, was about pouring the wine downwards, down a tube that went to the very depths of the world, the Gemara tells us. Says the Torah, korban is so important, sacrifices are critically important, but they're incomplete and miss the point if they don't result in bringing the aliyah, bringing the spirituality, the spiritual elevation down to the depths of our physical existence. And that's why it appears in this week's parasha to teach us that what happened with the Meraglim was a very big mistake. That they wanted aliyah, they wanted elevation without bringing down. They wanted to spiritualize without going into the physical. And that's why the Torah teaches us, no, when you bring a korban, when you elevate, you need to also bring down that elevation. You need to bring down that spirituality into the depths of the physical world to elevate it. So that's the connection between these two things. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and a good Shabbat.